God wants us to look and concentrate on the sacrifice. He wants us to see Jesus on that cross. He wants us to see how he had stripes on his back, how he was beaten and bruised. We know that by his stripes we were healed. He wants us to see his pierced, bloody body of his son on that cross. And he wants us to see all of our sins and sickness laid on Jesus on that cross. We want to look unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. We want to see his broken body. And then we say, thank you, Father, for this sacrifice. We receive your healing in this. I'm telling you, the blood of Jesus is the most important thing that's ever been released on this earth. I don't think people take advantage of the resource of the blood of Jesus the way God intends them to. A lot of people say, yeah, thank God, praise God, my sins are washed away. But there's so much more to that. The blood of Jesus gives us confidence to go in to the presence of God and receive mercy and grace in times of need. So when you make a mistake, you don't have to hide from God. You run to God so he can make you better. Also, the blood of Jesus protects us. I read an account of a teacher who felt led to plead the blood of Jesus over one of his students. And she got kidnapped by a serial killer, a satanic serial killer. And he took her to his altar and was going to sacrifice that child. And the demon that was dealing with him said, no, this one won't do. Get rid of her. Why? Because she was under the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus protects you. Plead the blood of Jesus over yourself. Plead the blood of Jesus over your jobs, over your finances. Plead the blood of Jesus over your family, over your animals. Plead the blood of Jesus over everything. This is the best insurance policy you'll ever have. Plead the blood of Jesus over everything. It's free to us, but it costs God everything. We thank you for the blood of Jesus, and we honor it. Think so. Am I green?
Yep, you're green.
I'm green. How about that? The IT guy was wrong this time. Open your Bibles up to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. We'll continue on with our adventure in creative love giving. I want you to understand 100% when you're dealing with finances. I don't care who's preaching. I don't care how famous they are. Your ability to prosper is because of the grace of God. It is not your obedience. It is the grace of God, 100%. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, it says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therein perform the doing of it, that as there was readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of it." Now, Paul wants you to focus on Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Anything that you do, including finances, you focus on the cross. You know, there is a prosperity gospel. And the true prosperity gospel is right there, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Okay. Look at Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Jesus said, "Give shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet with all, it shall be measured to you again." That's a spiritual law. That cannot be changed. Jesus said it. That is exactly the way it is. Glenn Smith used to say, "You know givey, you know giddy." Well, Jesus said to give, and it'll be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Now, like I said before, there is a lot of places to sow. There's lots of places to give. But if we sow seed, we shall reap a harvest. That's a spiritual law. Jesus said, well, Paul told us, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that we would be able to meet every good work. And this does not refer only to good works to the poor, but also to miraculous works of the gospel. For it is every good work, not just certain ones. See, Jesus operated in true prosperity. He met the needs of everybody that came to Him in faith. Now, you notice that they didn't all just come up there and say, "I need 10 bucks." Now, did they? Some of them came up and said they needed healing. Some of them did. Some of them came up and needed deliverance. Now, we get these little ideas on how we think things need to be. And I want you to understand that God does not work in accordance to your little box of official church rules. Peter needed some money to pay his taxes, and Jesus told him to go fishing. Well, how does that work? Now, here's a notable miracle. He caught a fish and had a gold coin in his mouth. People get these ideas on how they think God needs to get money to them. You need to just knock that off. Because God will get money to you however He wants to get money to you. Your job is to believe Him. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, there are three commands in this verse that will bring victory. Now, here's the thing. Be ready to stand forever, and it won't take very long. We live in this microwave world. I mean, we got high-speed internet almost everywhere. And we can get information at the click of a mouse. And heaven forbid if the internet happens to be a little bit slow. I think all this instant information has affected people's faith. In a way, because it has affected their patience. And now we've got Americans running around. They want what they want, and they want it now. Well, preacher, I've been standing for 3 days. Why haven't I got my healing yet? I've been given into the basket for 6 months. Why haven't I been prospered yet? You have been prospered because you have seed to sow. See, people have to change their thinking. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You have been prospered. And now God is trying to show you how to multiply that. The Bible tells us that we need to let patience have her perfect work. When a farmer goes out and plants 1,000 acres, you don't see him take an easy chair out there by the field and watching it. He just plants it and goes about his business. I've only seen one guy go dig his seed up. He had cause to, because nothing was really coming up, and he went and dug his seed up and it wasn't germinated right for some whatever reason, but he got a refund back on his seed. But here's the thing. We have Christians running around with the attitude that they got the financial system just backwards. They're given to get instead of giving because they got. You see that? You give because you got. You will receive a harvest on your giving. But you're giving because you got. A lot of people are under the impression that they give so they can get. You will receive a harvest. Your heart has to be right. You receive seed from Him so that you have something to give. The first rule in this verse here that it tells us to stand by is to be steadfast. That's literally be seated, settled, and firm in the truth of the resurrection and of the victory in Christ. You're literally, you have your feet grounded in the gospel. You're sure of what Jesus did for you on that cross. I mean, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8 really does mean something to you. That's the gospel. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. There's a lot of people running around worried about finances and worried about this and that that are on shaky ground because they hear a lot of shaky teaching. A lot of shaky teaching. The second rule there is to be unmovable. Absolutely be steadfast, be unmovable. Let nothing shake your faith or move you away from the hope of the gospel. Did Jesus say that He would meet, or did the Bible say that He would meet all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus? That's what it says, isn't it? Then that's what it means. He will meet all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's the gospel. Did you notice that verse did not say that He would meet all your needs because of your perfect attendance and your perfect obedience and your perfect whatever it is you think you're holding on to? No. If it's not Jesus Christ and Him crucified, it is not the gospel. Now, the next thing is, always, always, always abound in the work of the Lord, knowing this, that what you do will be rewarded. Your labor is not in vain. He gives you seed to sow. Did you know He'll also feed you? He gives you seed to sow so that you can cast it bread out on many waters. Understand this, that you will receive a harvest. It will come back your way. Sometimes fast, sometimes, you know, maybe down the road a little bit. But keep casting it out on that water. Pretty soon, you can have a harvest coming in on every wave. I had one guy say to keep track of your giving so you know what harvest that seed come from. And I thought, and he's a famous preacher. I thought, man, you must have a journal because I know this guy gives. He gives a lot. But I thought, man, this guy must have a journal this thick. How do you know which seed caused this harvest to come from? Don't complicate things, folks. Just keep it simple. Just keep scattering that seed out. Scatter it out seven places. You don't know which seed's going to land on good ground. But you will receive harvest. There are blessings to liberal souls from the recipients. Did you know that? 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Chapter 9, verse 10. Well, let's look at verse 8. Let's look at verse 7. that every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. So you're going to check in with God. You're going to ask him, say, what do you want me to be a part of? How much do you want me to be a part of it? That's how you purpose in your heart. You're not going to be conned by a pulpiteer. You're not going to be hustled. That's why we don't pass the basket around. I don't want anybody to ever feel bad. I don't want anybody to ever feel pressured. Because it says you purpose in your heart between you and God. Verse 8 says, God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he is dispersed abroad, he is given to the poor, his righteousness remains forever. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, pay attention to this, he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. So where did your seed come from? From God. Now get this. He gave you seed to sow. He's also giving you food to eat. So just because you give your money away doesn't mean you're going to go hungry. Because he's also going to feed you. And he multiplies your seed sown. That's curious. I know people that put a lot of money in the stock market and they just feel really excited when they get a 5, 10% return on their money. Some people, 3, you know. Some real players, you know, they might get 20% on a good turn. Did you notice we're talking about percents back on their money? Not multiplied? God has a much better system. In the world, you get a dime back on a dollar. In God's kingdom, he takes your dollar and multiplies it back. What system do you want to be involved with? Verse 10, it tells us he ministers. See, God is the one who ministers seed to the sower and bread to the eater. As all of this comes from God. And since we cannot exist without him, he has the right to regulate how it is to be dispersed. Did you get that? There's a lot of church rules that tell you how much you need to give and where you need to give. It's none of their business. Between you and God. He is the one that decides how it is to be dispersed. It is also God who increases the fruits of your righteousness and blesses all sowing and increase of the gospel. Notice in verse 10, the minister. Here God is represented by providence. He's leading the grand course of all causes and effects, keeping everything in its proper place, with all things working in harmony and according to his laws. Each is dependent on another, And all things are dependent on Him. So what laws am I talking about? We're under the covenant of grace, right? Did you know we still got some peculiar laws that we got to keep? We have the law of love. We have the law of sowing and reaping. We have the law of faith. We have the law of liberty. Those are four important things that we need to focus on. Verse 11 says, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. God increases your riches to be used for His glory and the good of men. God has made you a blessing looking for a place to happen. That should be your attitude in life. You are a blessing looking for a place to happen. You're receiving from God so that you have something to meet the needs of the world with. Verse 12, for the administration of this service not only supplies the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. So there's four benefits of ministering to the saints. Did you get that? That's other Christians. That's not pastors. Oh, it can be. I mean, I'm a saint too. But you talk about all saints. Well, I know what he did. And I'm just not going to help him. Did you know that the blood of Jesus is just as significant for that guy as it is for you? All right, let's don't judge him then. Let's get in there and help him. Pray for him. And if he needs a new coat, get him a new coat. If he needs some food, get him some food. Try to restore him. Try to get him back where he needs to be. Now, these four benefits of ministering to the saints, number one, it supplies the needs of the saints. You know, sometimes there's people that just need help. Sometimes there's Christians that just need help. I've noticed a lot of times Christians are good at masking. They look really good in church. And they fall apart at home. You know, they don't want anybody to know that they're having any kind of challenges. Because then they'll look less righteous than what they think they need to be. You know, people have challenges. You know, sometimes people just, things don't go right the way they expected, and they have unexpected expenses. Yep. Sometimes, you know, maybe a loved one gets sick and it drains their finances. Sometimes they lose a job. Sometimes they have a major mechanical breakdown in their equipment. All kinds of things happen to people. And their pride won't let them express it to anybody. Now, you're not supposed to go hustling people, but you let your request be made known unto God. He'll get your needs met. The second thing it does is it causes them to glorify God. You know, when somebody, you know, sometimes $100 doesn't mean much to a lot of people. But when somebody that really needs $100 gets $100, you know what they do? Especially Christians, they say, thank God. Thank you, Father. And then they'll pray for you. It gives proof that the givers are true Christians. They're putting their faith in action. It causes prayers of those who get supplied to go up for their beneficiaries. You know, people will pray for you when you help them. They'll pray for you. They'll thank God that you came their way. Maybe some of them don't, but that's none of your business. You're just sowing seed. I'm telling you, until you've lost everything, I mean absolutely everything, and you don't have any friends to turn to, you don't have any family to turn to, you don't have any resources, and you're relying on God, and somebody blesses you, that causes a thankfulness to come over you. You'll appreciate people. You'll appreciate God. Amen. Verse 13 says, while by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. Did you notice that word experiment? See, a lot of things in the word of faith you have to experiment with. You have to practice with. We'll try this over here. We'll try that over there. What are you doing? You're learning. Did you learn how to do your arithmetic right off the bat? No, you had to practice. You had to get a little practice. You had to learn. And then pretty soon you get efficient at it. That subjection causes them to glorify God for your subjection or submission to Him, to what you profess. You profess to be Christian and that you love your brethren. Your bountifulness is proof of it. See, you can help fellow Christians. I noticed I didn't say fellow church members. See, that's an attitude. I help you because you go to my church. You're one of us. That's crap. I had a guy call me. He'd call me all the time. He'd say, anytime you need anything, you just let me know. And I was living in Midland. And he said, every time I see him, he said, anytime you need anything, just let me know. And he did this all the time. He said, anytime you need anything, brother, just give me a call. Let me know. So one day he called me and he said, you need anything? I said, yeah, I do. He said, what do you need? I said, I need a bunch of hot dogs. I need a bunch of pops. I need a bunch of bags of chips. And I need some Frisbees. He said, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm going to go over to Odessa, over to this park by this big Baptist church, and we're going to do a little outreach there, and we're going to get the kids in there and people around there. We're going to have give them free hot dogs and pops and chips and frisbees, and we're going to minister to them, take them down to this church and say, here's your pastor. He's in your neighborhood. And he said, well, I got to, let me call you back, he said. So he called me back and he said, well, that doesn't do anything to benefit us. You see how phony churches have gotten in the kingdom of God? If it doesn't benefit us, we don't want nothing to do with it. You know, Jesus doesn't care what denomination you are. He cares about the body of Christ. And he's tired of all these divisions. Oh, he can't help them. They're Methodists. You know, I knew that it's not as bad here as it was up home. I knew Baptists would not walk across the street to talk to a Methodist. They don't get baptized the right way. You see what the spirit of division has done to the body of Christ? It's insane. Because the body of Christ just buys into it hook, line, and sinker. I knew a lot of people that would not set foot in a Catholic church. Because they do everything all wrong. Did you know I had a tongue-talking Catholic work for me? That means in order for him to talk in tongues, he had to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And in order for him to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he had to get born again. But because he's a Catholic, a lot of the Protestants won't talk to him. You see how stupid that is? He was a fun guy to talk to. I mean, there were some things that left me scratching my head. You know, I mean, he said sometimes I'll be just, what is it, rosary, that old thing with all the beads? He said sometimes I'll be going through the rosary and I'll just break into tongues. I thought, I don't know. I mean, you don't know everything. Did you know it's okay to help people of another denomination? See, this is why I can't stand denominationalism. So somebody asked me what denomination I am. I said, I'm the body of Christ. I don't, none of that. I don't want to take part in any of that division. I want to be able to help anybody at any time. I don't want anybody to have any special walls up because I don't agree with them in their denominational faith, whatever. Verse 14, by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you. Exceeding grace. The Corinthians had the means with which to promote charity and the heart to do it, but God's grace was the authority of it. Did you know that love is the master key to grace? Mm-hmm. Grace causes you to prosper. We made a plaque for the house. We put it on a pillar. And it said, by His grace. I know full well getting that parsonage built was by His grace. No doubt in my mind. The money that came in to build that parsonage just came from out of nowhere sometimes. From the most unlikely sources. Literally. I was in there working one day. This guy come walking in out of nowhere. I said, what are you doing? I said, oh, I'm building the house. He said, I can see that. He said, what do you got going? What's the next part? So I took him around. I showed him. I said, well, we're going to need a heating and air conditioning unit. That's our next step. We're going to get on that. And he said, you know, God just had it on my heart to come talk to you. And he reached in his vest and he pulled out an envelope of money. There's $5,000 worth of $100 bills in there. Said, here, I want to help. And he didn't go to church here. He's from another denomination. See, don't draw any lines in the sand. You know, you can cross over and help other denominations. Other denominations cross over and help you. You know, it's okay. You're not going to go to hell. Verse 15 says, thanks be unto God for this unspeakable gift. This gift is no doubt God's gift of His Son, Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son. Oh, even people that aren't born again know that verse. But a whole bunch of Christians don't understand that verse. That's how much He loves you. John told us to believe the love that God has for you. We better stop there. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. We praise You for everything that You do for us every day. We thank You for the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You that He is the author and finisher of our faith, and we look unto Jesus. And we thank You, Father, that it's because of Him that You meet all of our needs. Our very existence is dependent on Him. Our very next breath is dependent on Jesus. We praise Jesus, but we worship Him as the one true Lord and King. He is the one that came back to life and defeated death, hell, and the grave. He is the one true Good Shepherd. We know that no man cometh to the Father except through the Son. And we know that Jesus is in us. And that we can do nothing outside of Him. We thank You for this in Jesus' name. Amen.